Got your Bibles, won't you open them with me to 1 Thessalonians. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's right before 2 Thessalonians, in case you was wondering. If you didn't know. Guys, I say this every Sunday. I tell y'all this, and we do have a box right over there on that table. If you come in late after we took up our offering, just know you can drop your gifts in there. We want to make sure you're still able to honor the Lord with your giving. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word, God. We thank you in Jesus' name, Lord God, that your word will not return void this morning until it accomplishes what it has set out to do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Next Sunday is our Thanksgiving service, church. We're going to be doing baptisms. If you have not been baptized and that's your next step and you do want to be water baptized, please make sure you go out there and get signed up. Miss Linda Burkett will be out there. Amen. We'd love to get you water baptized as your next step. Amen? Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Say amen when you get there. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you this morning about something that we need to be aware of and something that we need to be ready for. Church, I want to talk to you about something this morning that we really need to be aware of and we really, really, really need to be ready for. Amen. I preached a sermon last week called It's Tiptoe Time. It's tiptoe time. Y'all remember that? We're to be on our tiptoes. Come on, church. The Bible says in the English Bible that the people were on their tiptoes in expectancy. Do you come into church expecting a miracle? Church, we're on our tiptoes in expectation. It's tiptoe time at Restoration Church. Come on. We're expecting a miracle. We're expecting to be healed. We're expecting the Holy Spirit to move in this service. Are you expecting to be set free this morning? Or do you just come in here and go through the motions and check off your Sunday box? Do you come in here with the expectancy to receive something? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say it's tiptoe time. Everybody say it's tiptoe time. I didn't know what to title this, so I called it It's Tiptoe Time Week 2. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to name it It's Tippy Toe Time. I think Dustin came up with that one. Y'all can give him, he's so creative. I said, Dustin, I don't know what I'm going to call this one. It's Tippy Toe Time. I want to share something with you this morning because people are hungry for the gospel. Do you hear me? People are hungry for the gospel, and part of the gospel is what I'm going to talk about right here and right now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. For from you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Verse 10, listen to these words. And to wait. And to wait. Everybody say it's tiptoe time. And to wait for his son from heaven. Listen, what he's saying is, and to wait for his son from heaven to return, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Glory to God. He said to those saints in the church in Thessalonica, he says that you were eaten up with idolatry. He said, but everywhere we go, listen to me, you were eaten up with idolatry. He said, but every single place we go, we're hearing of your faith. People in the community are talking about the change and the shift that's happened in you. I feel like a modern day Thessalonica church right here. I hear in the community of the shift that's happening in most of y'all. Praise God, somebody. Amen. He says, I've seen that there's been a change in you. Amen. People in the community are talking about how you've turned from idols to the true and living God. You were obsessed with idols, but suddenly you're declaring one God. You had many gods, but now you're declaring you have one God, and now you're serving the one true living God. Amen. And verse 10 says you're waiting. Verse 10, church, listen to me. Verse 10 says, you're waiting, and I want you to notice the characteristics of a life that has been transformed. Number one, you turn from idols. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I said, number one, you turn from idols. You're not the same person. You don't live for the same reasons. Come on, church. You have changed. You don't live for the same reasons. You don't have idols. An idol is anything that you put above God. Listen to me. An idol is anything that you put above God. Now let the Holy Spirit check you on that. Amen. You have turned from idols, and you've turned from all of them to the one true living God. And then he makes this powerful statement. And we're hearing and we're seeing everybody in the community is talking about how you're waiting. Everybody in the community is talking about how you've changed, and they're talking about how you're waiting on the Son of God to return from heaven. Church, this is very important. You have turned from idols, and you're waiting on the Son of God. Now, I want you to notice this very carefully, because this says something. Listen, they weren't just saved. This says something huge about them. They weren't just saved and transformed, church. Do you understand that? They weren't just saved and transformed and turned from idols. They were born again. They were baptized. But part of their testimony was those people were eagerly. They were earnestly. Come on, somebody. They were on their tiptoes. They were earnestly waiting for the Son of God to return from heaven. Amen. This is very important, church. They've turned from their idols. And you and I have done the same thing if you're saved. These people had turned from their idols. And I'm telling you, you and I, if you're really saved and you're really converted, you have done the same thing. We've turned from foolishness. We've turned from emptiness and living and serving dead things that cannot satisfy you. Hallelujah. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus, and we're serving one true God. His name's Jehovah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he's coming back for me. I'm waiting on my tiptoes. Everybody say it's tiptoe time. And the next great thing to happen in the church is the rapture of the church. It's the coming of the Son of God from heaven. You better understand what I'm telling you. The next big event, church, listen to me. The next great event is the rapture of the church, the rapture of the saints. Suddenly, believers will be taken out without warning. This book teaches that in a moment, look, watch me. This book teaches you that in the twinkling of an eye, that quick, bro. That in the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet is going to sound. Many believers are going to be taken up. I'm telling you, this is not a fairy tale. This is real life. In the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says, millions and millions of believers. You know the busiest day of church is going to be the day after the rapture? Hallelujah. I better not see none of you. I'm just kidding, I ain't gonna be here neither. Y'all like, man, they've turned from their idols. They've been washed in the blood. The next great event is the rapture of the church. Hallelujah. We're gonna leave this world. Scripture teaches that very, very profoundly. It's not a fairy tale. One third of this book, listen to me. One third of this book is prophecies about the second coming of Jesus Christ. If you believe that he came for the first time and he rose from the dead, there's more scripture and more prophecies about him coming back the second time than there was the first. If this book is a lie anywhere, it's a lie everywhere. Church, come on, somebody. I'm here to tell you, he's coming back like he said he was. One third of that book are prophecies about Jesus Christ coming back. So we know that that's what they were doing. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We know that that's what they were doing. Church,
That's what we're supposed to be doing if you've been saved and you're waiting on Jesus to come back. Hallelujah. Come on. We're waiting. Everybody say it's tiptoe time. We're waiting. We've been delivered from idols. We're serving God. He's delivered us from the wrath to come. And we're waiting on the Son of Heaven to come and return. Amen. Listen to me. Everybody's waiting on something. Everybody's waiting on something. You go to the doctor, you wait. Your appointment's at 8:30 prompt. You get there a little early because you won't be on time. By 10 o'clock. Amen. You done took the whole day off now. You're hungry because you couldn't eat because of a test you got to take. Don't want to go to the bathroom. You're hangry. Don't want to go to the bathroom because you know they're going to call your name while you're at the bathroom. And then you're going to come back out and you're going to miss it. And you're going to have to sit there and wait another 3 hours. Just waiting, waiting, waiting. And you'll wait because you really want to see that doctor. You'll wait because you really want to see that doctor. We wait at stoplights. Well, I do. Come on, I've seen some of y'all drive. We wait. We pull out our smartphones because we really can't stand sitting still and doing nothing. So we're at a stoplight and we're checking all of our messages, waiting on the light to change. Are you putting jelly on your biscuit or something? I don't know, reaching back there, smacking your kids around. Come on, you just sitting there waiting. We're waiting. For me, I'm waiting. I don't even look at my red light. I look at the red light over here. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm sitting there, I'm like, boom, boom. I'm like, I don't even wait on my light to turn green. I wait on that one to turn red, and I'm gone. Phew. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I know you do. Have you ever been to that part in Three Rivers where it goes from two lanes into one? That'll make you lose your salvation. You know what I'm talking about. You sit there at that red light, and you don't wait on yours to turn green. You wait on that one to turn red. Y'all act like y'all holy and stuff and don't. Come on, church. You know what y'all. We're waiting. Young couples in this church, they're waiting for babies to come. Sorry. A woman gets pregnant. She's waiting and waiting and waiting. We wait and we wait and we wait and we wait. A woman gets pregnant. She waits 9 months. Come on. And then the baby comes and the tension. The frustration, the days are filled with all this mother, her nose starts to swell up, ankles start to swell up, she gets irritable, I can't stand this, get this thing out of me. Y'all know, all y'all that's had kids know exactly what I'm talking about. And then she says things like, I'll never do this again, I'm through with this forever. And then she has 7 kids. We spend our whole life waiting. We spend our whole life waiting. The Bible teaches us that we're not the only ones waiting, church. The Bible teaches us that we are not the only ones waiting. I want you to take a look with me at Romans chapter 8. Because it tells us that not only are we waiting, but in Romans 8:19, look at this. It says it's even tiptoe time for all of creation. It says that creation is eagerly waiting. That not only believers, church, are waiting, but the heavens are waiting, the moon, the stars, all. Look at this. All of creation. Everything is waiting for, everybody says tiptoe time. It's tiptoe time for creation. They're eagerly waiting. The trees, the flowers, the oceans, the whole creation groans and labors with pains until now. Look at verse 23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan inside. Church, listen, eagerly waiting for the adoption or the redemption, listen to me, of these old physical bodies. Amen. Hallelujah. What is he saying? That everything God made in the creation, listen, the stars, the moon, the sun, the earth, the trees, the plants, the flowers, they're all on their tiptoes. Eagerly anxiously awaiting the moment that the trumpet sounds. And then our new bodies are given to us. We've got something to wait for, church. We've got something to look forward to. We and all, listen, it says we and all of creation is earnestly waiting. Come on, church. Ow. Tell you, I'm on my tiptoes. I'm anxious. I'm waiting. Are y'all waiting? Are you anxious? The trees, the ocean, the stars, the moon. That's why sometimes the earth has birth pains. And we would call them earthquakes. We call them hurricanes. We call them freaks of nature. We call them storms and tornadoes and all that stuff. All that is the earth that's been under a curse since Adam and Eve fell, eagerly awaiting the moment that it can be restored. You got to listen to me. As beautiful as the world is, listen to me, it's still under the curse. Every flower in your yard is beautiful, but it's not as beautiful as it knows it can be when it gets the curse off of it. It knows it can be more beautiful. That's why it's here. Wow. Do you understand that? All of creation, they know that it's under the curse. And then when the sun comes, even creation is moaning and groaning, and the earth has earthquakes. And that's why Jesus said, the closer I get to coming, there will be more earthquakes in diverse places. It's birth pains. Come on, somebody. He said, when I get closer, there's going to be more and more and more. It's just like a woman who's given birth. Even the earth testifies that the Son of Man is coming. Hallelujah. We're waiting for that day. It's going to be full of beauty like you've never seen. Amen. Amen. You know, the Jewish rabbis even teach that when Messiah comes, that even the dirt glows. Come on, somebody. Yeah. They teach that when Messiah comes, that even the dirt's going to glow. Amen. We're used to ugly. We're used to ugliness in this world, church. Do you hear me? We're used to ugly. We've gotten so acceptance of ugly in our culture. But the curse is going to be lifted. And all of creation just moans and groans with labor pains. It's creation saying, oh God, lift this ugly veil off of me and take us back to Eden and show us how we can be restored back to glory. Come on. They're moaning and groaning, church. All of creation. All of creation, if these old bodies are good for several years here, come on, can you imagine what our new glorified bodies are going to be like? He said in verse 23, eagerly awaiting. You see that? He said in verse 23, we're eagerly, church, we're eagerly waiting on the return of God. We're on our tiptoes with anticipation. You know, there's a homesick feeling that's supposed to be inside all of us. Listen to me. There is a homesick feeling that is supposed to be inside all of us who has turned from idols and been born again and have been washed in the blood of Jesus and we're serving the one true living God. There is also with that should be a homesick feeling inside all of us for the soon return of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you are a blood-bought, born-again Christian, you should be in expectancy of Jesus coming back. He's coming. He's coming. Hebrews 9:27, look at this in 28. It says, and as it is appointed for man to die but once, and after this is the judgment, verse 28. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many. Watch. To those who eagerly wait for him. Everybody says tiptoe time. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time. Are you eagerly waiting on him? He will appear a second time. Notice that word eagerly. It's not just a, well, you know, I know the doctrine that Jesus is coming back someday, and you know, it really don't bother me. It don't really apply to me. The word eagerly. Listen to me, church. Eagerly waiting. There is a modern day phenomenon. This is a modern day phenomenon in the church. You better understand, I'm telling you, nobody in the church is preaching about this stuff much. Nobody's preaching much about the second coming of Jesus Christ. But I want you to look at verse 28. Look at what it says again. It says, to those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear for a second time. Are you eagerly waiting on Jesus? Four of you? Them who eagerly wait for him. We're on our tiptoes, church. It's tiptoe time. It's tiptoe time. There's supposed to be something in us that we live every single day that Jesus could come back today. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back today. Jesus could come. There's something that should be in us that says Jesus is coming. Come on, church. It was the testimony of those people in Thessalonica that they had turned. They had seen a change. They were no longer worshiping their idols. They were serving the one true living God. And one of the proofs is that they eagerly wait. They're believing. They're believing Jesus could come today. I need to live right. I can't be doing what I... Eagerly waiting. Come on, church. They were eagerly waiting. Well, I need to live clean. I need to get my life right. Jesus is coming. That's the state of the mind of every believer. Do you hear me, church? That is the state of the mind of every believer that is in this room, to be turbo energized with that thought every single day and every single way of our life. To have that turbo energized thought in our life that, oh my gosh, Jesus is coming. Jesus could come back today. We need to be having that. Am I ready? Am I ready? Am I eager for his return? Am I on my... We should live like that every day. He said to those who eagerly wait. Not those who just wait. Not those who just... To those who eagerly wait. It could happen today. I said it could happen today. It needs to be on our mind all the time. We should live in such a way that we wouldn't be ashamed if Jesus came back today. I said, you should live your life in such a way that you should not be ashamed if Jesus came knocking on your door today. It's on our mind. It's on our mind. You can love this life and you can love this world, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying your life. But you have to remember, this is our second citizenship. This is our second citizenship. Our primary residence and citizenship is in a place somewhere beyond the clouds. Come on, look at Philippians 3:20. It says, our citizenship is in heaven. Says our citizenship is in heaven, for which we eagerly wait. Oh, there it is again. There it is again. Our citizenship is in heaven for those that eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. Everybody say it's tiptoe time. I'm saying to you this morning that our main residence is glory. Listen to me, church. Heaven is a real place. I want you to understand this. Heaven is a real place. If it was not so, he said, I go there to prepare a place for you. There's streets there. There's mansions there. There's cities. Heaven has dimensions. It's measurements. There's no limitations on your physical body. When you get over there, you will never have another asthmatic gasp for breath. You'll never have another palpitation in your heart. He's going to give us glorified bodies. Somebody shout for that this morning. Woo! We're going home. We're going home. We're going to be in heaven. There's no death in heaven. The curse is forever gone. And we will never die. There's no sorrow in heaven. Oh, come on, church. There's no sorrow in heaven. Look at Job 14:1. It says that the days of our life on earth are few and full of sorrow. That's right. He said the days on this earth are few and full of sorrow. The first thing we do when we come into this life is get slapped on the behind and we start, nah, 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 and we start crying. and we start crying. And then we come into the world crying. And then you just start crying the rest of your life. Come on, church. You want some milk? You start crying and screaming. Here comes mama. She takes you to the back room, gives you some milk. She feeds you. And then as you get off that bottle, mama takes you to school, drops you off for the first day. Guess what you're going to do when she leaves you in that strange new world? You're going to start crying. Crying again. The baby's going to cry. Crying again. Then you get up older in your teenage years and you start dating. And you think you're in love. It's puppy love. It's puppy love. And you get, your boyfriend breaks up with you because he starts dating a cheerleader. And you start crying again, and then you cry again, and you get lonely because you're single and you're not married. And you're saying, oh, Jesus, don't come back until I get married. And then you get married and you're crying. Now you're saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Just come back. Please hurry today. You cry your whole life. You spend your whole life crying. You get sick as you get older and you cry. You cry because all your family's gone. You cry because you're all alone. You're dying and you cry. And this is an uplifting message. Isn't this encouraging this morning? This is an encouraging message for you, isn't it? You cry and you cry. Your hair is falling out. Your body's breaking down. You look at your body in the mirror and then you cry some more. Come on, church. But one of these days, there will be no more tears in heaven. For God will wipe every tear out of your eye. I know some of you want me to be quiet and calm down because you don't think you need this. Well, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm telling you, there's a land that you don't know about, and it's nearer than you think. I'm telling you, it's definitely nearer than you think. And it's a land where you will never cry another tear. Glory to God. You cry the most of your life about something, but never again will you. It'll be all glad days. Amen. Come on, church. There will never be a tinge of sorrow in our life. Never. Not another tinge of sorrow. Think about this. Not ever, never another bad day. Not a tinge of sorrow. Not a tinge. No more disappointments. Every day somebody disappoints me. I'm disappointing some of you right now. And he didn't have much to say in that sermon. Well, you didn't have much to put in that offering neither. So here we go. Hey, enjoy the free show. Come on. I'm just playing. We're disappointing one another. I'm just saying. Come on. Come on, we're disappointing one another. Sitting out there like a critic. Y'all like American Idol judges. Like, yeah, well, that song wasn't that good. They didn't, you know. Yeah, it was okay. He's preaching. I should have just went down that church down the road. No, go do that. Disappointments. Disappointments, disappointments, disappointments. Disappointments in your kids. Disappointments in your parents. Come on, somebody. Everybody will disappoint you. But the Bible says in heaven, there will be no disappointments. Hallelujah. There will be no disappointments in heaven. In heaven, come on. There will be no, here's a big one. Here's a big one. There will be no more temptation. Imagine one day. Just imagine one day not to be tempted. Imagine one day, just one day in your life to wake up and not do something that displeases God. One day, come on, not being tempted in my mind, not being tempted with the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. One day you get up, you never feel the pressure of temptation, never, ever, ever again. Come on, somebody. In heaven, there will be no carnal flesh temptations when we get our glorified bodies in heaven. There will be no carnal flesh temptations. Boy, I need 4 or 5 people to shout on that one. Come on. Here's another big one. There will be no devil in heaven. Oh! There'll be no devil in heaven. The next time the devil brings up your past, you need to say, well, you know what? I'm going to let you talk about my past for a little while.
then I'm going to talk to you about your future. Come on. And I see your future, and I see a big old chain, and I see a big old angel coming down and wrapping you up in that chain. Come on, somebody. And in your future, I see Revelations 20:10, devil. I see a lake of fire, Mr. Devil. Come on, somebody. And one of these days, an angel is going to come and put a chain around you and your false prophets and the Antichrist and throw you in a lake of fire forever, devil. Come on. So bring up my past. I'll bring up your future. My future is brighter than his future. Amen. Come on. Are you on your tiptoes this morning? I said, are you eagerly waiting this morning? Are you waiting on the return of the Lord? Are you eagerly waiting on the sound of the trumpet this morning? Come on. You know why you don't care? Because you're too carnal. You want to know why you don't care? Because you set your affections on things in this world, not things of above. I'm just telling you. We set our affections on things below and not things above. Because when you get full of the Holy Ghost, and I'm here to tell you, if you have to, you'll go through the sorrows of life so this old world will lose its grip on you. Come on. You get full of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you. And when it does, something in you, listen to me, begins to yearn. It begins to yearn. I'm yearning. I'm young. I want to tell you, I'm young, and I got a lot of living to do. But I tell you, if the Lord wants to come today, I don't have a bit of problem with it. I'm ready. Are you? I say, I'm ready. Are you? Amen. It's tiptoe time, church. We're to eagerly await the Son of God from heaven. Drum roll. Like, I'm up here doing sound effects and everything, trying to keep y'all involved. I'm working hard. Drum roll. Come on. Let's go. Can you hear it? That's what we're supposed to be like. Drum roll. Something's about to happen. Something's about to happen. Eagerly. Oh, come on. We're supposed to go around like that. Man, that preacher's on crack today. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I wish we could get back to living for eternity. We need to get back to living for eternity. What in the world? What in the world can this world offer you that would ever make you miss the rapture of Jesus Christ?
Nothing.
Nothing. What can this world offer you that you would miss the rapture of Jesus Christ for? Nothing. 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 It's all temporal. It's all temporal. Man, offer you nothing. We need to get back to living for eternity. Amen. And then when we preach about it, we ought to shout about it. Yeah. Amen. Calm down, Pastor. We preach about this, we ought to shout about it. You need to be earnestly, eagerly waiting for the Lord to appear. Come on. Because those who don't have hope and those who don't have comfort and they don't have any joy except in temporal things. There are people that don't have no hope, no joy. All their joy is in temporal things. And Jesus put it like this in Matthew 11:11. I want you to see this. He said, of all, watch him. Of all the men born of women, Jesus said, John the Baptist was the greatest. And then he makes this phenomenal statement. Listen to me. But he who is least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. Yeah. He who is the least, listen to me, in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist, who at that time, according to Jesus, was the greatest man alive.
Amen. Amen.
He who is the least in the kingdom, listen, to be the least one in the kingdom of heaven is what he was saying. To be the least one in the kingdom of heaven is greater than being the presidents of the United States. Amen. To be the least one in heaven. I mean, if you are the only one that barely got in and you were dying and you were in intensive care and you lived this wretched, wicked life and you only had 3 breaths left and you said, Jesus, save me. And that's all you ever did for the Lord. And that's all that you ever did for the Lord, and you're the least one in the kingdom. And then I want you to look at people. I want you to look at people on the earth that are millionaires, that are billionaires. They're the powerful. They're the elite. They're the Hollywood crowd, the super-duper athletes with the sports cars and the women. And he said, listen to me, the least one in heaven will be so much mightier, so much more blessed than the greatest one down there left behind. What can this world offer you? Hallelujah. Can you imagine what heaven's going to be like? 100 trillion times greater if you get to heaven than the glory and all the money combined that this world has to offer you. Hallelujah. The least in the kingdom of heaven will receive greater than whoever thinks they got a lot of stuff on earth. Glory to God. You will receive greater than all the people that think they got all the stuff here on earth. What kind of reward? Look at 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, no eye has seen and no ear has heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man what God has prepared for us. Don't you get discouraged now. Don't give up now. Don't you start going back to sin and iniquity and all those things now. The church needs to be on our tiptoes today. Come on. We need to be eagerly awaiting the Son of God from heaven. Don't go lukewarm now. Don't go cold now. Don't stop praying and reading your Bible now. Amen. 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 Don't stop serving God with fire and passion, because we are to be on our tiptoes eagerly awaiting the return of the Son of God. Amen. Eagerly. Are you ready? Yes. Listen to me. If you're eagerly awaiting, you don't want to get more and more and more of the world in your life. If you're eagerly awaiting on Jesus, you don't want to get more and more of the world in your life. You want to get further and further away from it. Because when the trumpet sounds, all that matters is I'm ready to go and he comes. Amen. That's all that matters. And some of you need an awakening this morning. You're not eagerly waiting. You're wrapped up, tangled up, you're tied up in this present world. And Jesus is saying, I'm coming back. I promise you. Amen. I'm coming back again. Some of y'all wrapped up and tangled up in this world. You need an awakening. Listen carefully. The Bible says in Jeremiah 12:5, if the footmen have wearied you, then what are you going to do when the horses come? Whew. Church, listen to me. If the footmen have wearied you, what are you going to do when the four horses of the apocalypse start coming on this earth? We're just fighting, listen to me, we're just fighting little footmen demons right now. You're just fighting little footman demons right now, but what are you going to do when the real spirit of Antichrist hits this earth and there's going to be a great falling away? Amen. Huh? I'm going to tell you, you keep living on the edge. You keep living on the edge. You know there was this little girl who kept falling out of the bed and her mommy come picked her up and said, darling, she put her in bed and said, darling, why do you keep doing this? And she said, I don't know, Mama. I think it's because I keep staying right close to where I get in. You keep living on the edge and see what happens. Keep living on the edge and see what happens. Right. Listen to me. You better get off the edge. You better quit playing with sin, playing with pornography, playing with wickedness, looking at filth, filling your soul with lies and deceptions of compromising Christians. Listen to me. I have not found a shortcut yet. It still takes holiness. It still takes purity. It still takes clean living. It still takes repentance. It still takes turning away from your idols and being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and eagerly waiting on the return of the Son of Man.
There's no shortcuts. Is anybody at Restoration Church on their tiptoes? Huh? Is anybody here? Y'all waiting for Jesus to come? If you are, lift up the biggest shout that you can. Come on. Spit in the devil's eye this morning. Spit in the devil's eye this morning. Come on, stand to your feet. We got to get our children filled. We've got to get our people filled with the Spirit, because there's many spirits that are out there seducing, tormenting spirits. Ain't nobody leaving yet. Come on, I ain't done. You ain't been dismissed yet. 1 Timothy 4:1, look at this. It says there are deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Look, it says there's deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. You mean the devil comes with doctrines to penetrate churches and put deceiving spirits in the church to pull people away from God? Yeah. Yeah, he does. But I want Restoration Church to have such a relationship with Jesus this morning that we turn away from idols and anything else that is hindering our intimacy with him. Hallelujah. We don't need to compromise the truth. I still believe that when you get sold out to God, you'll give up anything. When you get sold out to God, you'll give up anything. Hallelujah. It's tiptoe time. We need that fire back in our soul. Come on, let's catch on fire this morning and say, oh God, I'm waiting on the sound of the trumpet this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.